The following audio is from North Life Church in Fort McMurray, Alberta. More information is available at northlifechurch.ca.
Scripture says, they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be, what's the word? Filled. They that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. I do pray that we're hungry for God today and we're thirsty for the Lord today. During my vacation time, from which I've just returned, we had many, many family reunions and family get-togethers. As I told you, I come from a large family. Am I losing it again? Am I okay? Okay. I come from a large family, and as I've said several times to you, that my father is 95 years old. He looks better than I do. He goes more than I do. He has a quad, and he uses that quite often. He has, I think now, about 3 large gardens that he takes care of. He's a whittler, so he makes axe handles and pickaxe handles and PV stocks, all that type of thing. He used to be a lumberjack. And so he's doing really amazingly well. He may as well go for 100. Once you hit 95, you may as well just keep going for 100. So we had quite a reunion. It was all morning, then we took a break in the afternoon, then Dad came back in the evening again. And it was a fun time. It was the type of a reunion or families get together, cousins and in-laws and outlaws. You get the idea. And it was a type of, it was somewhat open-ended. So we weren't quite sure how many were coming. If they were coming, would we have enough food? Would we not have enough, you know, that type of thing. But we decided just to go for it anyway. It turned out very well. Of course, we had to cook more than we expected. Excuse me, they had to cook more than we expected. I had to eat more than I, excuse me. But it was just a lovely time. And at times like that, you meet friends and cousins and relatives that you haven't seen for years because the event gathers together. I do suggest to you, this is not my sermon today, but I do suggest to you, it's lovely to honor some people before they go, rather than after they're gone. So I would certainly suggest to you that if there's somebody you want to honor and they're still breathing on this side of eternity, honor them. Get somebody together. Do something even now while they're with us. But it's interesting when you're not sure who's going to show up and if you're going to have enough. Well, that's almost biblical. Did you realize it? Jesus Christ was teaching. He was teaching primarily his disciples, and at this particular time, in John chapter 6, he was emphasizing teaching with his 12 immediate followers. And as he began to teach these awesome truths about what it means to know God and walk with God and experience God, as he was teaching these realities, instead of 12, it became 24, and then it became 100, and then it became 200, and how many are going to show up? Will we have enough food for the crowd? And he keeps teaching, and they started to come by the hundreds, and it ended up that the scripture tells us in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's the only event that's mentioned 4 times in the gospel accounts. So it's somewhat unique. There's truths in this event that we need to get a hold of because God inspired these authors to every one of them. Matthew, you write about it. Mark, you write about it. Luke, you write about it. John, you write about it. Because something significant is happening here. Well, the long and short of it, by the time Jesus really began to teach and began to preach, the Bible says there were 5,000 men there. And the original language says very specifically, it's 5,000 males, 5,000 men. And of course, it was not just all the men that had gathered. Their wives had gathered and their children had gathered. So estimates are there were at least 15,000 people showed up for that reunion, for that event. And you know the story, don't you? The Lord Jesus Christ began to look at all of these people that had gathered, thousands and thousands of them. They are on the Sea of Galilee. I would say the Galilee area is probably the most beautiful area in Israel. Has anyone been to Israel, by the way? And maybe you don't agree or not, but there's the busyness and the hubbub of Jerusalem, but even today when you go north and you're there around the Sea of Galilee or the Sea of Tiberias, it has different names, as you are there, it seems greener, it's more beautiful. There's the rising hills that come out of the Sea of Galilee. And right on one of the, really the most beautiful part of that, of the shoreline, of the shore of the Sea of Galilee, the Lord Jesus Christ is experiencing something very special. As the thousands of people come there, I kind of picture it this way. The nightfall comes. They've been there all morning. They've been there all afternoon, just kind of like the reunion I was at. Some didn't even go home in the afternoon. We kind of hoped they would, but they didn't. And some stayed that morning, some stayed afternoon, some stayed the evening till, you know, it was later. And it was becoming, the scriptures say, it was coming on to evening. So it's soon going to be dark. And I kind of picture it this way. It's recorded in all four Gospels, but John got a bit more specific. Jesus had a talk with Philip, one of his followers, and almost like nudged him and said to Philip, I know that these people are hungry. I'm aware of this because they reminded him. They said, Lord, it's getting dark. It's getting late. Where are these people going to go? There's no restaurants around here. We're not downtown Franklin Avenue. You know what I'm saying? We're out there. So he began to, they prodded him. Send the people home. Send them home, wherever they come from, so that they may have something to eat. And I think the Lord almost nudged Philip and said, you feed them. You feed them. I don't know how to handle that, really. And the scripture says that when he kind of nudged Philip and said, Philip, you feed them. Can't you think broader? Can't you think deeper? And then the question really is this, don't you realize who is standing beside you? Don't you get it yet, Philip? Well, Philip said this, he said, it would cost so much money to feed these thousands of people. If we worked month after month after month, we still wouldn't have enough to feed them. And that's when Jesus did something very special. Andrew, the other of the 12, Andrew stepped up and said, Lord, we found a little boy's, remember that? We found a little boy's lunch. He's got five, and John is very specific. The other three are not specific like this. John says, this little boy has five barley loaves. The others just say five loaves. But John was specific and said he has five barley loaves, and he has two, and the word is two little fish. By the way, barley loaves, that was kind of the type of bread that I would bake. Do you know what I mean? I've never baked bread in my life. Do you want to come over this afternoon and eat what I bake? Well, don't. Don't. Barley loaves, we might say, well, that sounds good today. Well, back and then, it was really the I would say, the poorest of all of the loaves, of all of the bread. It was kind of, don't tell anyone this, but they use that to feed the animals quite often. The pigs, you know, whatever. So John was making a point here. Andrew comes with five little barley loaves. Not so good, is it? And then he comes with what? With the two little fish. And he gives them to the Lord. I like the process here, don't you? There's a little boy who was willing to what? Give. And then Andrew took it and said, it's kind of interesting. I kind of picture it like this. I think Andrew is standing there almost ashamed to offer them to the Lord. I think sometimes we're like that. We feel we're not wise enough, we're not good enough, we're not experienced enough, we're not capable enough, we don't have the right connection, we don't have the right lineage, we don't have the right background, we weren't raised properly. We all put all these, not very good. Jesus finds somebody else. But he's never like that. Whenever we offer ourselves, like we sang this morning, whenever we offer what we have and who we are to the Lord, he has an amazing capability to take that which is lesser and make it greater. to take that which we think is insufficient and make it more than sufficient. To take that which is broken and which we think can never be used again and put it all together and use it in a great and wonderful way. Do you believe that? You see, sometimes we allow our spirits to become downtrodden, and God is saying, I want to lift your spirit today. Sometimes God has somebody he wants you to touch, but until we get over that spirit of inadequacy, that God is not able to use what I offer him, the other person will never be lifted, will never be touched. So he brought the barley loaves, and he brought the fish. And I like what the Lord did. The Lord lifted the bread, and he lifted the fish up to who? Up to God, his Father. And he blessed the bread, and he blessed the fish. And something miraculous happened. You see, God is not overly concerned how many are going to show up, because he has the capability to minister to whoever shows up. You are gathered here today in this auditorium. You may not even have planned to come. Something took place, and you couldn't be in the other place, but you're here today. You know why you are here today? By God's divine appointment. He knew you're going to be here. He wants you to be here. He wants to touch you today, to speak to you today, and to advance you spiritually in the way that he would want you to be advanced. So the Lord began to give to the disciples, broke the bread, and began to give to the disciples these pieces of bread. And they began to disperse them among the crowd. 100 were fed, 200 were fed, 500, 1,000, 5,000, 10,000, and probably up to 15 or 20,000. And I like this. Oh, dear Lord, I wish we would get a hold of this. We're certainly wealthier than we realize if we know the Lord. Because the scripture says, the Lord says, sit down on the grass. One of the accounts says it's a green grass. Kind of interesting, just to show they were really there and it really happened. And after it says they were all fed, and scripture says they were not only all fed, every one of them were fed, but they were all what? They were all filled. You know, that's good. I loved our reunions when I was away, because don't tell anyone, but every time I walked away, I felt good. I was filled. We seem to, even as Christians, followers of Christ, we seem to go through life or periods of life in which we act as if we're paupers, but we are children of the King. We act as if he's inadequate to meet the needs that we have to be able to touch other people, but he's not inadequate. We can be much more filled than we realize. So the Bible says they not only all were filled, but the Lord said this. He said to his immediate followers, he said, go pick up what is left over. And you know the answer, don't you? When they went with the baskets or whatever they had to pick them up, when they went with the baskets, there were 12 baskets full. And from what I remember in my previous studies, they were not just little baskets. They were large baskets. And they gathered up 12 full baskets of leftovers. You see, our God is able to do above and beyond all that we can ask or what? Think. And Jesus said in another place, he said, according to your faith, be it what? Be it unto you. What are we believing God for? What are you trusting God for in your life? What are we trusting God for in and through this congregation, this church? To believe that he can meet every need that is presented to him and meet it above and beyond that we could ever imagine. What about your families today? Have you given up on what God is able to do through you by his Spirit into the lives of your families? I'm a family man. And I grieve every time one of my extended family, I pray for them, there's dozens of them, I have 19 nephews and nieces. That takes up a period of time. You see, when I see or notice one of them is not walking with God or not yet knows Christ, that affects me. Doesn't you? Or have we gotten so comfortable we just say, well, the way it is the way it's always going to be? We will live with inadequacies. We will live with good enough. We will live with one of my children know Christ, the other, but we will live with it. Do not live with it any longer. Rise up in faith and trust Almighty God to do unusual, blessed things in your children, your grandchildren, the extended family, and the neighbors and loved ones with whom we associate. Oh, may God stretch our faith and see that the one on the mountainside, the hillside of Galilee, is still alive today, is still working today, is still more than capable today. He's not just a doctrine. He's not just a character in the Bible. He's alive, he's well, and he's working. Shall we trust him? Shall we ask forgiveness for lack of faith? Shall we take some of those walks with God and myself, and you and God, and say, oh, Lord, my faith has gotten so weak. I've gotten used to the usual. Break me out of it. Give me a taste of the realities of what happened that day with the thousands of people through one person, Jesus, on that hillside. They ate. They were filled. They took 12 baskets up after. God is more than adequate. Amen? Praise the Lord. Thank you very much. You going to come and help me out? Where'd you find that? Is that mine? Thank you, brother. Great. Well, I like that. I'll use that. You can always have an illustration, right? Good. God bless you. Have a seat there. Listen to me preach. I hit right on now and then. Okay? Then what happened? After they were all fed, Jesus kind of went away by himself, and night came. The disciples waited on the shore for Jesus for quite a long period of time, and then they thought, well, we don't know where he is. We don't know if he's coming back again right now. So what happened is the disciples got in the boat, only one boat there, and they went across. And remember the story on their way across? It's dark, it's nighttime, storm comes. They get halfway across, and the boat is about to what? The boat is about to sink, and the Lord Jesus Christ comes along walking on the what? Walking on the water. Let's just leave that for now. The next morning, the people came to the shore, on the opposite shore, and said, where did he go? And they took other boats, and they went across to the other side. And when they got to the other side next morning, Jesus began to teach this whole crowd again because they said, where did you go? We thought we'd still be on the other side. Well, the Lord said, you know something? You saw me do miracles. You saw me feed the thousands of people with 5 loaves and 2 little fish. And what the Lord Jesus said was this. He said, you are looking for things that will satisfy the flesh, but I want to offer you something that will satisfy the what? Satisfy the spirit. Would one of you ushers please encourage this young fellow to be sure he's taken care of? Great. Thank you. Okay. Somebody just kind of encourage him, please. Thank you very much. So when the Lord Jesus Christ came across in the morning, we need to pray for him. When the Lord Jesus came across in the morning, he began to talk with them and saying, you're still looking for the bread that will only satisfy the what? Body. And then he told them 3 things, and I love this. Jesus Christ began to tell them, I am the bread of what? Life. Let's say it together. I am the bread of life. And then, I tell you, this hit me many years ago, and I love it. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never what? Hunger. He that believes in me shall never what? Shall never thirst. 3 things about the bread of life, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the bread come down from heaven. Just think about it for a few minutes. He said it many times, and it's recorded in John 6. Jesus kept saying, I'm the bread who came down from what? Would you just think that over? Because it's difficult to believe sometimes. But Jesus said, I am absolutely unique. I am the supreme one. I am the Lord. I'm the one that came from out there down to what? Down to here. I came from God, and I'm now what? I'm now here. Now, how many here today believe in the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ? Raise your hand. I absolutely do. Let me say this. If God is going to become human, we ought not be surprised that he's going to have a supernatural entry into this world. Amen? You see, for the Word to become what? Flesh. From God to become human, it's going to be a supernatural entry. And it was. Jesus was born of a what? Of a virgin. That was not a physical interaction between God and between Mary. It was a spiritual interaction. The scripture says Mary was conceived of the who? Of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus Christ, you see, is not only a human being, but he's God become what? Become flesh. And he is the absolute one. He is the supreme one. He is the Lord. He is the Savior. He's incomparable to anyone else. Do you believe that? That's why the Lord begins to teach these people. It's not just a matter of eating bread and having your physical need met. You need me in your life so your spiritual hunger will be satisfied. Jesus is the one who came down to this earth. Jesus is better than the manna of the Old Testament. Remember the Old Testament days? The people are hungry and they were complaining, and the Lord miraculously allowed them to have day by day manna, this little food that came every morning with the due time. And they ate it time and time and time again. The people who witnessed the miracle of Jesus Christ on the hillside of Galilee, they were so bold that they said, well, Moses did better than you. Moses fed us for years. You know, isn't that interesting? But you just fed us last night. Ooh, we get pretty proud, don't we? We think we're something, don't we, sometimes? And you know, the Lord said a couple of things. He said immediately, no, Moses didn't feed those people. God fed them. So he got that wrong first. God did it. And then Jesus said this. Jesus said, they ate the manna. They had to eat it every day, every day, every day. And then later on, when their time was up, they died. The manna could not keep them alive. That bread. But Jesus said, I'm not only the bread that come down from heaven, I am the true bread, he said. I'm the true bread. True means better than the other. True means not inadequate. True means not imperfect. True means not temporary. True means solid. It's going to work, and it's going to work for how long? The Bible says, he that has his son has what? Life. Jesus said, I'm come that I might give them what? Life. That's why we call the church North Life. We're living up north and we're enjoying it. But it's far greater than that. We are people who believe Jesus is the life and he's able to give us spiritual life. He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. So Jesus said, I am the bread that has come down from heaven to bring spiritual life to people. Eternal life, which is both quantity and quality. I don't know about you, but I love it when Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Life. I met several of the pastors in the city, and I had lunch with a couple of them. We had great times. And one of them said, something like this, said something, you really believe in Jesus, don't you? You know? Kind of a good thing for pastors to talk about. You really believe in Jesus, don't you? And it kind of took me aback for a minute, because first I thought, well, why wouldn't I? You know, yeah, I'm pastor of a church. But then it got, not all pastors of churches do. And then I got thinking, I said, you know something? Jesus is my life. He's everything. He's everything. How can you explain it differently? Where would we be without Christ in our lives? Where would we be without the eternal life that is implanted in us by the Holy Spirit? Where would we be if we did not have the assurance that when we die, we would go to heaven to be with Him? He is our life. He's our everything. We breathe who He is. We live who He is. We talk with Him. We pray with Him. We interact with Him. We look forward to one day being able to see Him face to face, the one who died for us and who rose. One great motivator of my life, I will never stop, neither sin, nor self, nor Satan will ever stop me until the day I step into His presence and see Him finally face to face. Amen? You see, He is our life. He's deeper than deep. If we have to offer everything else up, let it go. But not Jesus. So the Lord said the three things to them, and you can read it in John 6. He said, I'm the bread who came down from heaven. He said, I'm the true bread. There's nobody or nothing like me. And then He said this. He said, I'm the living bread. I'm not only life myself, but I'm able to give you what? Life. You know what it's called? You must be born again. That's what it is. We come into this world natural, flesh people. Somewhere in this journey, there must be an encounter with Christ to where we receive Him as our forgiver, our Savior, our life. And we're born again. We're implanted with the life of God. And our lives are never the same. Something has taken place. We think differently. We feel differently. We have different perspectives, different outlook. We have been born anew. It's better than the little baby trying to get a hold of realities. We are God's now. We're God's. I have a question today, just like the question that these people had. They started to get excited, the thousands. They started to get excited and they said, give us this bread then. Give it to us. They still didn't quite figure everything out. Give us this bread. That's when Jesus said, I am the bread of what? Life. And here it is. It is so simple we miss it. I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never what? Hunger. Let me say this. Since I've come to Christ, I've never sought another Savior. I've never sought another Lord. I've never sought another Master. I've never sought another whatever you want to fill in there. Because He satisfies. He's met that vacancy within me that nobody else or nothing else can fill. He is sufficient. Amen? He's sufficient. And I don't hunger for another guru, another Savior, another Master, another Lord. Jesus Christ is incomparable. Do you believe Him? Have you trusted Him? Are you ready to meet Him? I am the bread of life. He that, the word come, it's like, it's so simple. He that comes to me. It doesn't say he that goes to me. When somebody says he who comes, it means he's standing there. His arms are open, right? And he's saying, come. Come to me. It's not the church. It's not do's and don'ts. It's not even good doctrines, as good as that is. Jesus is saying, you come to me. My arms are open. Have you? Will you? Come to Christ. Some of you need to come today. Some of you have been, it's almost like Jesus says come, and some of you have been like, it's like your feet are sunk in concrete. He's been saying for a long time, come to me. I'll forgive you for your sins. I've done that on the cross. I'll make it real now. By my Spirit, I'll come live in you. And it's like for some, it's like, let me encourage you today. Move and say, Lord, here I come, and spiritually go into the arms of Christ, and he will receive you no matter who you are and what you've done. He's done sufficient to take care of all those issues, and just be enfolded spiritually by his person. He said, he who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me, that's continuous tense, shall never what? Thirst. Now the message today is this. Jesus said, oh yes, I can provide physical needs. By the way, he does it all the time. You know why? Because the Bible says our breath is a gift of God. When he shuts that down, it's over. So he gives us physical needs all the time. But he's saying, I want to go deeper than that. I'm the one who can give you life and give it for all of eternity. So that death is simply a change. It's not the end. It's a new beginning. Now we need to make a decision today. If you have received Christ into your life, you've taken that step of faith, just thank the Lord today. Oh, God, thank you. That since I've come to you, I've sought nobody else, you are sufficient. But if you have never, if it's still you're hesitating, oh, dear God, why don't you come to the Lord today? Today, right today. He says, he didn't say, I was the bread. He says, I what? I am the bread. Right now, right this place, come to Christ. Shall we bow our heads in prayer? While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and nobody looking around for this moment, how many can say, Pastor Summers, Pastor Les, thank you. I've heard again the truth of Christ. And I want to tell the Lord today by uplifted hand, I do know Christ. I have come to him. Would you raise your hand quickly? Pull it back down again. That's practically all of you today. But maybe there's one, two, or more that are saying, this is my day to come to Christ, and I want to pray to receive him. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if you're not sure you have Christ in your life, I'm going to just pray a simple prayer. And while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if you're not sure Christ is in your life, but you want to come to him today, just pray this, would you? Not out loud, just in your heart. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Are you praying it? Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I believe you're living, that you rose from the dead. Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. I want you in my life. Then pray this right now. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. Is there anyone here that prayed that simple prayer and you meant it? Lord, come into my life. I come to you today. Raise your hand, please. I'll pray for you this week. Anyone pray that simple prayer and I can pray for you this week? Father in heaven, thank you for speaking to us. And I pray that during this week we will be very aware that Jesus is the bread that gives us life and that he is incomparable. Thank you for speaking to us today. Shall we rise, please? And let's sing this beautiful hymn, I Need Thee Every What, Every Hour. Let's sing this song, please.